Here we go. It's the Stairway. It's your host behind the mic, Mr. Just Right, Mikey Whitesnake. I've got some good news. We've won two in a row, and we're atop the AFC North. And I've got some bad news, of course. With me, as always, my co-host, Bad News B-Rye. B-Rye, what's up? How you doing tonight, man?
You doing well here. Don't look now, but the Steelers are on a winning streak. We went into Las Vegas there and just took over the building. The crowd showed up.
Yes.
And I think in some ways we kind of got our mojo back. So
Ooh.
I'm excited to talk about that game and, you know, the direction our team's headed at the moment.
Yes, sir. A 23-18 victory in front of many, many Steelers fans. We kind of wondered if they would show up out there, and boy, did they ever. It's another one of those quasi home games, I think. First time in Vegas. First time in several years beating the Raiders on the road. We talked a little bit about that the last game. It was really good getting two in a row, B-Rai. And thanks to that upset against the Ravens by the Colts, we're at the top of the division. I mean, can we stay there, though, is the thing. B-Rai, obviously, another solid performance by the defense. And I believe the offense showed just a little bit of improvement. There was some questions coming in. Did Matt Canada get semi-fired? He got kind of assigned like as Kenny, or rumors had it that maybe he was assigned like Kenny Pickett's friend or buddy or something like that. He was going to be spending more time with Kenny. It came out afterwards. Maybe that's not so true. Maybe there's really something going on behind the scenes and we don't know about it. Either way, though, they looked marginally better, I would say. Thoughts overall, B-Rai. Did the offense look better? How did we come out of here with a win?
I think really the offense did look better, but you kind of have to look back at the first two games. Obviously, we knew how good of a defense the 49ers had, but ever since that Browns game, there's been a lot of talk about them being one of the top defenses in the league. So I think that's a huge factor, really. We finally got to play against a defense that isn't as formidable. So really, I think it gave them a little bit more room to work with and allowed Kenny to get a lot more comfortable and for us to get some first downs. It took a little bit of time to get going, but they did get some first downs. They made some big plays, and I think they did show some improvement that we were desperately waiting to see.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there was a big splash play, obviously, again, big pass to Calvin Austin, which was very, very nice to see. We got the ball spread around a little bit, just a little bit. And we'll get into the box score here, B-Rye. How about it? Kenny Pickett, 16 for 28 for 235, only averaging 8.4 yards per pass there. I will say there was a couple plays, though, that made me feel a lot better about Kenny. Some rollouts, some strong throws, obviously the big bomb to Calvin, two touchdowns. I think they mentioned on a broadcast it's been some while since he's thrown two touchdowns in a game, so he kind of got off the schneid there. No interceptions, though, I think is the big thing to highlight here. No turnovers from Kenny at all. So all in all, I think we'll take it. I think we'll take it. Whatever they did with Canada, he was obviously still up in the booth. They kept showing him and, you know, commenting about, you know, kind of him being on the hot seat a little bit. So I don't know what they did. Maybe it's just things starting to come together. I don't think we can complain too much, though, B-Rye. We're 2-1, right? And we have a division win. Like I said, we're at the top of the division. You can't ask for much more at this point in the season. On the rushing line, Najee Harris, I will say he had a couple runs where he looked good, breaking some tackles, running strong, but 19 carries, 65 yards, 3.4 yards a carry, down a little bit from his performance the week before where he was over a little bit over 4 yards, I believe. Still something to be desired, though, I think, from Najee overall. Warren followed up for 8 for 29. Kenny rushed 3 for 11. Connor Hayward got stuffed on a third down, I believe it was the opening drive. I was really worried after that opening drive, B-Rye. It was, you know, another three and out, and they got to third and one, and they had that little handoff to Hayward, and he got stuffed, and I was like, oh, boy. Oh, here we go again, you know. But overall, they prevailed. Any thoughts, B-Rye, on Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren, and the rushing attack in this game?
I'll be honest. It's gotten to the point where I feel like I can't fault the running backs at this point. The O-line is just not opening up any holes. When you watch the Eagles, who is a strike contrast to the Steelers O-line, you just see the kind of lanes that Swift gets to run through. And then you turn on the Steeler tape and you got two guys in the backfield and Najee's just like tossing guys out of the way to try to pick up 1 yard. It's just, there's not much room to work with. Even Warren, who can, I think he has the ability to make a little more out of nothing. Even he couldn't find any room in this game. So really, I think this O-line needs to gel and start working together in order for any of these backs to truly become successful in this offense.
Yeah, I'll agree. The O-line definitely needs to improve there, give them some more running room, some better lanes. Najee had a long of 17 in this game, which was a good chunk of his overall yard. So not a lot to gain there on the ground. B-Rye, I want to talk about something real quick when it comes to Najee. We've been talking on the pod all week, on the Funk House they were talking about it, on our pick show we were talking about it. I can't quite remember who started this, but Matty Funkhauser, our good friend, mentioned that Najee Harris looks like he's running in a pair of jeans. I'm not
what
quite.
What kind of jeans?
Yeah, that's a big question. I mean, I think to me, it's really tight jeans, maybe. But, you know, there's some questions. Is it some Lee Pipes? Is it some dungarees? Is it some JNCOs? I don't know.
Skinny jeans.
Yeah, I would say skinny jeans, something like that. Distressed, probably skinny jeans. I don't quite get the analogy, but at the same time, it makes total sense. The talent's there, no doubt. You got to think about, I mean, if he was playing behind a better line at this point, what would he look like? B-Rye, is Najee Harris's time coming? Is he going to get out of this funk? I mean, I'm sure he's driving some fantasy owners crazy at this point because he was probably drafted pretty high. Obviously, everyone thought he's going to be a bell cow. Is he going to get out of this schneid? Are we going to see a better version of Najee Harris going forward?
I think by the end of the year, we will. Last year, he had a little bit of trouble getting going too because of that injury that I think he had, a Lisfranc and like a metal plate in his foot or under his foot. But this year, I haven't heard of any injuries. I think it's really just the O-line is not opening up anything. I could understand those first two games against the great defenses, but against Oakland, you would have think they would have found a little bit more running room. But, you know, O-lines can kind of gel as the season goes on. So I do expect him to, for things to open up for him to start hitting some longer runs here.
Yeah, that's what I'm banking on too, for sure. For sure. One thing, B-Rye, I do want to mention is Kenny Pickett had a scramble that was called back on a hold where he got down near the goal line. Looked absolutely electric. Looked like he could be doing that a little bit more. Got me real excited. He was real pumped up. Man, Kenny is not a bad runner, and I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more of that. What do you think?
I'm all about it. And I think this game, I heard Tomlin say something about part of the game plan to kind of slow down those elite pass rushers, which, you know, we went against three games in a row, elite pass rusher after elite pass rusher. So when, you know, with our O-line not doing a great job of pass blocking either, he's kind of a sitting duck back there. So they kind of gave him the go ahead from what I've heard to be a little bit more mobile. Don't be afraid to move around or out of the pocket if necessary. He has athleticism. We've seen it in his pit days. I think because of the state of the O-line, he has to do this to not only make plays, but to stay healthy and not be that sitting duck back there. So I hope that's a sign of things to come moving forward, because I think for this offense to operate more efficiently, he has to do that. And you can tell he just gets more comfortable back there when he can move around a little bit.
Yeah, he's not a complete statue back there. He's got some athleticism, and, you know, even Ben did in his early days, B-Rye. And, you know, I want to see him use it while he's still got it, you know, because I'm not sure he's going to be that guy who's going to be running through his whole career. So I'd like to see a little bit more of that as well. And that run that got called back in the hold, he looked really natural running there. And I just want to see a little bit more of that from Kenny. Let's move on to the pass catchers, shall we? George Pickens went 4 for 75 on 6 targets, had a real nice heel tap catch on the sideline there where he kind of got up and cocked off to one of the Raiders coaches afterwards. You always like to see that, as long as you don't get 15 for it, George. Calvin Austin, obviously what we've all been waiting to see. We saw it in the preseason too, B-Rai, the big touchdown catch. I think that was like 65 some yards. He had another one, ended up with 72 on six targets. They're looking for him. And, you know, this is the kind of exciting thing. Once you can get him in the mix, when you get Deontay back, now you got something to work with. Now you got a couple, you know, different threats to work with. Freiermuth caught the touchdown. We love to see that. He went 3 for 41 with that touchdown, four targets. Allen Robinson just keeps sweeping up short passes, 4 for 24 on four targets. You know, nothing exciting from A-Rob quite yet. He's just more of a security blanket out there. I don't want to quite say yet that he's reminded me of a guy like Jericho Cotchery, you know, a vet who kind of comes in and really exceeds expectations. But he's been reliable safety blanket for Kenny. He's there when you need him. Nothing spectacular. Jalen Warren, 3 for 23 on four targets. I want to see them dump some more balls off to him if they can, because it always seems like he makes something happen. He had a long 16 as well in one of the receptions. I want to see more of that. Najee, Connor Hayward both had a couple targets, but no catches. Anything remarkable there on the pass catchers, B-Rai?
It was great to see Freiermuth get back into the fold there. And I want to see more of that. He's a great safety blanket over the middle. He's a mismatch. So great to see him back. Hopefully we see more of that coming ahead. And Allen Robinson, that's the kind of guy you want as your third receiver. He's a chain mover. He's a good blocker. So I like that they're targeting him. Obviously, George and Calvin, they're the playmakers. Really, we talked about it in the preseason. Calvin, if he can just keep going, get even when Deontay comes back, if he can keep going and be a part of this team, it really opens things up for everyone else underneath. And then I agree with the Warren assessment. He's a good pass catcher. I think they tried to use him a little bit more in the role of the screen game. A couple of them didn't pan out, but you could see where there was some potential there. And sooner or later, they're going to hit some of those for really long yard after catch.
I know. And he also had a really nice block. I think it was on Max Crosby. Nice step up block in the middle. Yeah. Was real. Now, he's a very good pass blocker. So they're not afraid to roll him out there for sure. I just want to see a little bit more of him, partially because he's on my fantasy team, partially because I think he's got some juice, you know. All right, B-Rai, that's the offense. Let's move on to the meat and potatoes of the Pittsburgh Steelers, the defense. Minka Fitzpatrick, 11 tackles, 7 solo. Obviously, Davante Adams was torturing them. I think he had 172 yards receiving on 13 catches. Jacoby Myers added 7 for 85 as well. So the secondary was getting kind of picked apart, bending, not breaking, I would say. Obviously, Devontae had that big touchdown catch over glitched out Patrick Peterson. We'll get to him in a second. Quan Alexander was a little bit more noticeable this game. He had 7 total tackles, 5 solo. He added the quarterback hit. A couple nice little plays there from Quan. You love to see him running around. Levi Wallace, B-Rai, 6 tackles, 4 solo, 4 passes defensed from Levi Wallace. Obviously, I think the Raiders' game plan was to kind of pick on him a little bit. We talked about his poor performance in Cleveland. But he came up with, what, 2 interceptions as well? This is one at the end of the game. So it was nice to see Levi bounce back. And the first interception was at a pretty crucial moment in the game as well. So we love to see that from Levi. A little bit of a bounce back, even though they did, like I said, pick on him a little bit throughout the game. But a couple pass breakups, too, I noticed from him were really nice. So it's good to see him hanging in there, you know, still making plays while he's kind of giving up some, too. Cole Holcomb, B-Rai, 5 total tackles, 5 solo, 1 tackle for loss, 1 pass defense. He's a guy who I'm really liking what I'm seeing so far from him. Nothing crazy, you know, nothing world-beating from him. But I think he's providing more than competent middle linebacker play. And I think he's showing up on tape a little bit more than maybe your guys like Miles Jack or Devin Bush from a couple years ago. What do you think so far about that middle linebacker play, B-Rai?
I think you'd have to be happy with what you have this year compared to the last couple years. They show up. They just from anyone that can watch film, you notice they're not getting blown off the ball. They're not getting the O linemen aren't getting to the second level and just wiping them out of plays like Bush used to do. They're standing linemen up. They're making plays. They're getting off blocks. They're I'd say in Cole's case, he's doing a pretty good job at doing some coverage there. So he can keep up with guys. He's a pretty quick guy. Quan is a heavy hitter. He plays sideline to sideline. So I think we got a nice group that we can rotate in and out.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm anxious to see more of that. Landon Roberts, 3 tackles, 1 solo. Didn't really show a lot in this game, I would say, on film anyways. But, you know, he showed up on tape a couple times. So between all 3 of them, and I think it was Collinsworth mentioned during the game, they all kind of bring something different to the table. Holcomb is kind of the guy you're going to see making more splash plays, tackles for loss. Quan, you know, is kind of like a kamikaze out there, and Roberts is your thumper. So they all kind of bring something different to the table in terms of traits. Pat Pete, B-Rye, I want to mention him real quick. He had 5 tackles, 4 solo, added an interception and a pass defense. I saw today that he actually moved into the top 10 of the PFF rankings, for whatever that's worth, and they're calling him a lockdown corner. Now, we talked about this the first 2 games. Pat Pete has made some excellent pass breakups, and he added kind of a softball interception. I think it was nothing crazy. It was like a, yeah, it was a pretty easy pick, honestly. But so far, I don't think we can complain too bad. He did give up that touchdown, which is a little bit mix up between him and the safety, where people were kind of joking. It looked like he was glitched out and mad, and he was just kind of like, didn't get his head around in time, turned the wrong way, was flailing. Adam's just, you know, an easy one. But so far, B-Rye, what do you think about Patrick Peterson? Obviously, he brings a veteran presence to that locker room. I think he fits the personality of the team well. Are you happy with what you're seeing from him so far?
I am. I feel like in that first game, he didn't seem as comfortable, but as every game goes by, he's been getting more and more comfortable in this defense. He's even when he's given up some plays, he's in position, he's close. I think part of that too is communication. So week 1, the communication was just bad. You gotta, like we mentioned, a lot of new guys out there. So that's very important, especially when they play a lot of zone coverage. And I think with this kind of defense, you know, teams are going to get those yards against us. But the key is not to break. And I think he's done a good job of making sure we don't break. I definitely want to see a little bit more of that communication with the safety get improved a little bit, so we don't let up those kind of touchdowns. But overall, he's been a solid contributor.
Yeah, definitely. Mark Robinson, 4 tackles, 4 solo. He showed up on special teams a couple of times with a couple of nice plays there. I wouldn't mind seeing more Mark Robinson if one of these middle linebackers happens to go down at some point in the year. Keanu Neal, 4 tackles, 2 solo. He was around the ball a couple of times, I noticed. Nothing impactful, though, from him or KZ in this game, who added 2 solo tackles as well. Landon Roberts, we mentioned him, 3 total tackles, 1 solo. TJ Watt, B-Rye, showing up again. 2 sacks, 3 quarterback hits. I mean, he's leading the league in sacks now, right, I believe?
Yeah, 6 sacks.
Yep, Steelers record holder. Made an impact on every single game so far, I would say. Darn near had a fumble recovery, too. I believe he also bent Jimmy G like Gumby there for a second in that one play they had. Miles Killebrew added a couple tackles. Marvin Leal almost had a fumble recovery as well. I like to see him. He took the ball, ran it to the end zone just in case it was ruled a fumble. It was not. I want to see more of Leal. He shows up at least once a game, I feel like, in an important time. And I'm liking what I'm seeing from him so far. I want to see more development from Leal, but I can't complain so far from what I'm seeing from him early in his career. Joey Porter Jr. had 2 tackles. I noticed, what was it, the first or second pass of the game, he was defending Devontae. And that was a nice coverage on him, but I didn't notice him too much later in the game. I'm not sure how many snaps he actually logged, to be honest. B-Rod, do you know what was going on with Porter in the game? Because after that first drive, I didn't really see much of him.
The number of plays he was in increased, but it still wasn't a lot. It was like a handful.
Marcus Golden, 2 tackles, 1 solo, and 1 sack. So Golden's showing up. I think he has a couple sacks now on the year, if I recall correctly. Montrevious Adams, 2 tackles, 1 solo. Keanu Benton picked up his first sack in the NFL. That was his only tackle. Larry O really didn't do much. He had 1 assisted tackle. Alex Highsmith, something I wanted to mention, didn't really pop too much in this game. He had 2 quarterback hits, and that was it from him. So they neutralized one side of the ball pretty well, I would say. Anything you want to talk about further on the defensive side of the ball in this game?
So I did see TJ won Defensive Player of the Month for the AFC. So, I mean, barring injury, what's the chances here that he breaks the all-time sack record for one season?
Well, he's on pace to do it, right? I believe he would be on pace to do it if my math is correct. Now, we do have the extra game to consider. To me, he already has a sack record because, what was it, Strahan had a real lollipop sack to give him the record. So to me, TJ has it. So he's going to go break his own record. He's tied for it now with Strahan. As long as he stays healthy, I mean, that's the big question. He's just, we talked a little bit about this on the pick show, and I kind of made a quip that overall I'm not too impressed with Myles Garrett. And it immediately got flack from the co-hosts, Maddie and Len, on that one. Because, of course, he's a good player. I don't mean to say he's a bad player. But against the Steelers, especially as of late, he just doesn't seem to show up. And he doesn't make a lot of tackles. He doesn't seem to make big impact plays against the Steelers. So I went back and looked at the statistics on Myles Garrett. He had like 5 sacks in his first 3 career games against the Steelers. He has 3 sacks in his last 8 career games against the Steelers. Be right. That's, come on now. I don't think you can put him in the same league as TJ Watt. Quite honestly, I just think TJ makes huge plays at huge times that change the tide of games. And he did it again in this one. So he's very deserving of that. You say player of the month honor. So
yeah,
full marks to TJ. Overall, solid performance. You hold the Raiders 18 points. That should be enough to get you to the, W. 23 points. B-Rye, I'm looking at the AFC North standings. 23 points isn't a lot, especially when you look at the NFL and you're seeing teams like Miami put up 70 in a game. Overall, we need to score more points. You know, Baltimore's got 71 on the season, Cleveland 73, Cincinnati has 46. We have 56 points for. You expect Cincinnati's going to come back to a more normal level there once Burrow gets fully healthy. That's my biggest concern. The defense can only do so much, especially if they're asked to go out there again and again and again. The offense has to pick them up a little bit here. We got to score some more points. So that was the Las Vegas Raiders. We went into Vegas. We put all our money down on the table, B-Rye, and we came out winners. So nothing to complain about. Again, I think you look up and down the lineup, contributions here, contributions there. You know, we don't got the luxury of a Davante Adams catching, you know, almost 200 yards worth of passes. So it's got to be a team effort, and I'm liking what I'm seeing. I think this is going to help this team grow throughout the season. So that's that. That's week 3, 2-1. You can't complain. We'll take it. Moving on, B-Rai, what's happened this week? Where are we at with the injuries? Do you want to give us the injury report from today's practice? Thursday, by the way, we're recording this. So what's up with the injuries?
So we have did not practice with Presley Harvin. I did want to point out how great of a job special teams was in the last game. So Harvin's just, ever since that week first one, he's been booting it. But I think he's gotten a little bit too much practice kicking. So he pulled up on the injury report with a hamstring here. We'll see. We're going to keep an eye on the Friday practice. They did bring up a punter to the practice squad. So we'll see. That's going to be huge if he's not able to play, because he has been giving us really good field position lately. Also on the list, did not practice, was Allen Robinson with an ankle injury. We'll see where he's at tomorrow. There's also James Daniels. He has a groin injury. He didn't practice for the second day in a row. That one sounds a little more concerning. So we'll see tomorrow what his participation is. Darnell Washington showed up on the report with a did not practice. That one I haven't heard much about, so we definitely want to keep an eye on that. I think they've been using him a lot with the run blocking and whatnot. So definitely need him out there. Other than that, we had some. I would say overall we're pretty healthy right now, other than the two that are still in the IR.
Yeah, I think Washington popped up on the injury report last week, but he was able to play. Now, this is a knee I think I saw with him, which was obviously the concern coming out of the draft. So a little something to be concerned of there. He's been doing a good job blocking. Hasn't caught a pass yet. So I want to see a little bit more from Mount Washington, definitely in the pass game as the year goes on. But not good to see him on the injury report. I'm glad you brought up Presley Harvin. He had an excellent game. In a controlled environment, I want to mention that, because as the year goes on in Pittsburgh, when that wind is swirling, the ball gets cold, it gets hard, you know, that's when it's going to matter more. And that's really when I want to see him show up. You know, when you're in these domes at Allegiant Stadium there in Vegas, you know, I don't want to say it's easier. I'm not a punter by any means, but from game to game, this is two games in a row now where I think he did an all right job, right? He did pretty decent against the Browns. It was more of a mixed bag, I want to say. First game, we really roasted him, I feel like. So there's improvement there. But again, let's see what next week brings. And that brings us to next game against CJ Stroud and the Houston Texans. B-Rye, what do we got to watch out for from the Texans, who are fresh off an upset victory against the division rival Jaguars?
Yeah, they're a young team that's kind of on the roll here. I think CJ's been looking great. They pick up a lot of yards passing. As of now, their rushing game's not doing so hot. Damian Pierce, I think he only has like 100 yards on the season. Singletary, they've been using a decent amount, 70 yards. I like Pierce a lot. I think really the issue is that O-line. They're having a hard time getting that going. As you know, before the season started, they traded for Kendrick Green. So that shows how desperate they are. But, CJ is able to get the ball downfield. Nico Collins has had a good year, and Tank Dell is just came out of nowhere, real fast, real small receiver who is going to be a challenge against us. This week. So, and then they got the trusty veteran Robert Woods, who's having a solid year. We know what he brings to the table. So they're a young, fast offense, and definitely got to show up against them.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the run game. Pierce is, they really haven't gotten it going so far down there. He came out hot last year in his rookie season before an injury. I'm looking for this to be a get-right game for – now, I think we did kind of do that. We kind of bottled up Josh Jacobs. Actually, I'm going to bounce back there real quick to see Jacobs' line there. He only had 60. He was kept to 3.6 a carry, 17 carries for 62 yards. So you can't complain against that. Now, Jacobs has been off to a slow start as a whole this year as well. He missed some time. So I'm going to be anxious to see if they can keep Pierce grounded. You mentioned Tank Dell. He really came onto the scene the last couple games. He is going to be a challenge to keep bottled up, no doubt. CJ Stroud, though, is the one we really got to look out for. I was trying to look for statistics, B-Rye, on Tomlin versus rookie quarterbacks. I found an article from 2020 that mentioned Tomlin against rookies at that point. So a couple years ago, a couple seasons ago, was 22-4 against rookie play callers. So I'm not sure how much that has changed, but overall the history against rookies has been pretty good. So to me, the big matchup in this one is Stroud, and does he get the rude awakening he so sorely deserves? Does he get his welcome to the NFL moment, B-Rod? What do you think? Is TJ going to get to CJ in this one?
Oh, he'll get to him at least once. I would be surprised if he didn't. This is going to be a true test for the rookie. I think it's going to be a tough time. He'll get his yards. He'll make some plays. But in the end, the pressure that's going to happen against their really rough offensive line, I think, is going to be a little bit too much for him to overcome.
Steven Nelson, former Steelers over there on the Texans, the much maligned Steven Nelson, did not have a good tenure with the Steelers. Like you mentioned, Kendrick Green as well, a little Kendrick Green revenge game. Desmond King for the Steelers, we ride former Texan, former All-Pro. He showed up on the kick return team. I don't think he got a shot at it, though. That was the only time I seen him during the game. So might want to roll him out there for a little payback. Will Anderson, a top pick this year as well. So I'm anxious to see him, how they can keep him contained. You mentioned on the injury report as well, James Daniels. You would think that Nate Herbig would slot in there. So maybe not a huge downgrade. That's where, you know, our depth on the O-line, the changes we made in the offseason, are, I think, are really going to pay off. You know, we lose someone like Daniels, who's a big free agent signing the year before. Herbig, pretty well thought of guard, you know, so I think he can slot in there if Daniels does miss the game. Overall, though, B-Rye, I'm taking the Steelers in this one, 3 in a row. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they just need to be careful not to underestimate this young team. As long as they do that and go into the game with the right mindset, I think they're going to win this. And I do expect that to happen.
Now, time and time again, we hear, especially from the Tomlin Steelers, right? You look ahead on the schedule, you say, oh, the Texans, that's a W, right? Now, obviously, they're coming off a big win against the Jaguars. I think surprised a lot of people. That's the one thing we have to consider there. Are they going to play down to their opponent? Are they even in a position to be playing down? Are these two teams more equal than we think? What do you think, Bri? Are we going to get the classic, we're favored to win? Because I think we are. I think we are favorites headed in this one. Are we going to get the classic favorite to win, possibly let down?
It's almost set up for that. You know, Tomlin's good for one every year, at least one. We have the Ravens the week after this week. So are we looking ahead for the Ravens? They better not be. With the way the team has started out this season, I don't think they can afford to do that. If maybe we were feeling really good about ourselves and overconfident, I could see that happening. But I think right now there's a lot to prove still. And even though there's a winning streak, there's still not a great feeling about where the team's at. There's a lot of work that needs done.
So just looking at the historical matchups between these teams, obviously the Texans is still a very young franchise. The Steelers lead that all-time series 5-2. The last time we met was 2020. The Steelers had a 28-21 victory. Just looking down through here, we've beat them 3 times in a row. So let's hope we can keep that going. Last time Texans beat us was 2011. So history is on our side. Speaking of history, B-Rai, we've got another piece of important business I want to touch on, and that is our star quarterbacks. Second commercial ever that I'm aware of, and I'm just going to pull it up here real quick. It's his second commercial. His first commercial was with his lovely wife for Levin Furniture. This one is for classic Pittsburgh area car dealership, Number One Cochran. Have you ever bought a car from Number One Cochran? Have you ever looked at a car at Number One Cochran?
I actually have, yeah. I got my Hyundai car from there, and very happy with the experience. I would recommend buying from them. They have some competitive prices too.
Well, if that endorsement,
not a sponsor of the show,
if that endorsement didn't sell you, this one certainly will. Huge car dealership, you know, and let's just play this commercial for the fans right now. I don't think we need video to accompany this. I'm sure you could probably picture this in your head as it's going on. It's not very dynamic. Let's go ahead. You might remember this guy. That's why I said mentioning history here. Ben Roethlisberger shows up in this one with Kenny Pickett, and their acting chops are on full display. Let's go ahead and take a listen.
Hey, Kenny, how lucky are we, right?
I know. I can't believe it. It's truly a dream come true.
I know. I felt the same way back in the day.
Do you have any advice for me?
I would say have fun and really just savor every moment. After all, not everyone gets to be in a number one Cochran commercial.
It's a great picture. Nice beard, Ben.
Thanks, bud.
Stop by any number one Cochran store or visit Cochran.com.
Not bad, Kenny. Not bad at all.
Woof. Woof. First of all, it's like somebody is offset with a gun to their heads, making them do this commercial. No excitement at all. I'm kind of concerned, B-Rai, about Kenny's lack of charisma, maybe. And maybe he's just not an actor. We haven't had a good actor in commercials, B-Rai, since Cordell Stewart, who had a couple classics. I don't know if you remember or not. He had a good Nike commercial where he was delivering papers. He was picking them up and he was throwing them through people's doors. He threw a guy. It hit him in the arm and knocked his arm off. He had another classic one with Bill Cowher, where Cowher like gets hit in the head with the ball and like gives him an idea to play slash at wide receiver. And that was for like some old shoe company or something like that. Those were the glory days of Steelers commercials. Overall, B-Rod, what do you think of this one between Ben? And you remember, you know, there was a lot of questions when Kenny came in and Ben was coming around and maybe they weren't so friendly, or maybe Ben was like, you know, annoyed or something that a new guy was in town, and how was he giving him any mentorship? I think Kenny showed up on his podcast a couple of times. B-Rod, what's your thoughts on this commercial, and can we do better here? Come on.
No, if the Mean Joe Green Coke commercial is a 10 out of 10, this is probably like a 3 out of 10. But honestly, it's fun to see them interact. It's definitely got those local commercial vibes going, but it's fun. I think Kenny was a little bit more comfortable in this one than he was in the first one with his wife. But still, you know, you just got to love it. I'll watch these any day.
You know what, though? I think it's just a good sign that we have a quarterback who's worthy of some commercials. You know, I don't think we were rolling out like Duck Hodges or Josh Dobbs or Dennis Dixon or anything like that at any point. So the franchise and the town, I think, has faith in Kenny. And I guess we just got to be glad he's worthy to put on TV outside of the 60 minutes he plays in every Sunday. So, yeah, that was, to me, it was kind of cringy. Ben especially. I don't know. Ben seems like he's trying not to be like a jerk, and Kenny just doesn't want to be there. I don't know. It's very cringy. But a lot of Pittsburgh area commercials are, to be honest with you. So, all right. Well, B-Rai is a better spokesman for number one Cochran than these guys ever could be. So, all right, B-Rai. Well, that's a recap of the last game. That gets you up to speed, and that's a look ahead to the Houston Texans. Any final thoughts here on the stairway?
Definitely going to keep an eye on some of the matchups we went over. I want to see Benton continue to show up, Liao. We got to get to this Stroud rookie. I think it's going to be a close one, but I just want to continue to see this offense improve. And I think we will. But let's go into Houston. Let's come out of it healthy and with a little bit more confidence heading into Baltimore.
So I want to see that victory. I want to see us go 3-1 because you know who comes next at home? The Ravens. So, big test there. Be great if we could roll into that one 3-1, at least tied with them for the division lead. And that would really be a nice spot to be in when we welcome Baltimore into Heinz Field. After that, we got a bye week. So, yeah, that would be a nice way to go into the bye week, at least 3-2, at least above 500. So, lots to look forward to here next week. I'm sure we'll join you to preview the big matchup against the Ravens. Steelers Texans Sunday, 1:00, NRG Stadium in Houston. Thanks as always, B-Rai, for joining me on this stairway. And we're going to go ahead and get out of here, I guess. For Bad News B-Rai, it's your host, Mr. Just Right, Mikey Whitesnake. This is the stairway. Here we go, Steelers.